The summer edition of the Jurgens Journal. While Walter Winchell is on a short vacation, here is the summer edition of the Jurgens Journal presenting news of the minute and the hour by Ray Henley, veteran reporter and Washington correspondent, and Frank Kingdon, author, lecturer, and noted news commentator. Also from the makers of Jurgens Lotion, the new cosmetic for a twice as lovely look, Jurgens Twin Makeup, a Broadway triumph.
Twin makeup gives me such super glamour. It's wonderful how these cake and powder shades match on my skin.
So said that charming Broadway star, Beverly Roberts. Yes, Jurgens Twin Makeup means twice the loveliness, more than you ever achieve with cake or powder alone, because it's shade-matched perfection. Here's skin-smoothing Jurgens Makeup Cake, plus matching Jurgens Velvetized Powder. Both in one box, only $1, a $2 value. Jurgens beauty experts created 6 pairs of twin makeup shades. To find your shade, check with Jurgens powder in 10 or 25 cent sizes. Then, to look twice as lovely, like Broadway stars, wear this perfect for you shade in Jurgens twin makeup. Now we take you to the newsroom of the Jurgens Journal with Ray Henley reporting from Washington.
Good evening, friends, and here's a bulletin. Bern, Switzerland. The Foreign Office has closed down and the Foreign Minister has retired after announcing that nothing has been received from Japan. This means it's unlikely that any surrender news will reach Washington officially until tomorrow morning at the earliest. Washington, here's the latest summary on what's what on the surrender front. The United States government expects the enemy to take what we offered them yesterday. But we are fully prepared for either trickery or premeditated delay. I'm informed that President Truman is prepared to act if we don't hear something from Tokyo by midnight tomorrow. There may be another final ultimatum setting a definite time limit. If we don't hear by the end of the ultimatum period, or if there's any trickery or deceit, then this will happen. The greatest and most concentrated campaign of destruction ever witnessed in history will descend upon the Japanese home islands like a man-made typhoon. Our military high command is counting on the atomic backing of the American people for this campaign. London. The listening post of the British Broadcasting System has picked up a Morse code wireless message sent by a Japanese wireless operator in Tokyo to the wireless supervisor in Bern, Switzerland. It said, quote, "Our important message not yet on hand." And then the Jap operator added that he supposes it will be coming in the morning. The White House. Brigadier General Thomas F. Farrell, a member of the Army's Brain Trust on the atom bomb, will supervise the atom bomb campaign against Japan if the enemy turns out to be up to any monkey business. General Farrell will operate from a secret island in the Pacific. He arrived there on July 27th under circumstances that will prove to be a big story when it can be told. The War Department. The War Department's dramatic and hair-raising release, reporting the details of the experimental explosion of the atom bomb in New Mexico on last July 16th, is being acclaimed by the Washington correspondents as a really great piece of journalism. We rank it with the war's finest reporting. But neither of the two men who did the job ever saw the inside of a city room or ever spoke over a news microphone. The Army's reporters were a couple of Army engineers, and brass hats at that. They are Major General Leslie R. Grove, the Army's atom bomb expediter, and Brigadier General Thomas F. Farrell, already mentioned on this broadcast. No professional news writers either doctored or touched up their copy in any way. Memorandum to all Rotary, Lions, and Kiwanis clubs. Don't take seriously any of the stories that are being spread to the effect that there's been a wastage in the clothing collection campaign which your clubs helped so effectively to organize. Here are the facts. Out of the first 2,000 carloads of clothing turned over to baling establishments, 4 carloads were mildewed. The clothes became wet or damp in transit to the baling factory or during local collection. These 4 carloads were turned over to dry cleaning establishments. Not a single pound was lost. It looks from here as though the rumor factory still is working strong. The President's Cabinet. One more cabinet change is expected immediately now that the war is ending. Mr. Henry L. Stimson, who has covered himself with glory since he took office as a patriotic duty in 1940, will get out. He will be 78 next month. Lewis A. Johnson, who was an assistant secretary of war during Roosevelt's second term, wants the job. He's a possibility. He has strong support in the American Legion and among members of the Senate Committee on Military Affairs. But the Army generals do not like him. Mackinac Island. Health authorities all over the country are watching a number one experiment with that new insecticide, DDT. Mackinac Island is a summer resort where motor vehicles are not allowed. All they have there is horse-drawn carriages, and that means millions of flies. During the past few weeks, DDT has been sprayed on every building in the business district with a two-nozzle power spray on an old fire engine. Screen doors have been hand-coated, and the stuff has been applied to 300 horses and 30 stables. The director of the Michigan State Health Department, Dr. William DeKline, informs me that for the first time in the history of Mackinac Island's summer resort business, flies are not a problem. Instead of being a pest, the fly has become a curiosity. And here's a final bulletin, the State Department. Tonight's conference between President Truman and his Secretary of State, Mr. Burns, is reported to have dealt with problems which will come up immediately after Japan surrenders, not with the surrender itself. Mr. Burns is going on the assumption that the United States must lead, and that we'll be able to lead only if we know beforehand where we're going. That's the news. Now back to Ben Grauer in New York.
Thank you, Ray Henley.
Mr. Grauer, last Sunday you told us that Jergens lotion is much the favorite hand care with attractive women. How do you know?
Well, we asked them. We asked photographers' models here in New York, stars in Hollywood, college girls, Army and Navy wives, and...
And with all those lovely girls, Jergens lotion is the favorite hand care?
Yes. Among Hollywood stars, it's 7-1 for Jergens. Nearly 5-1 among New York models.
And the Army and Navy wives?
Well, they prefer Jergens lotion nearly 3-1. You see, Jergens has an almost professional way of caring for your hands. Two of the fine ingredients in Jergens lotion are the same as many a doctor orders for skin care. So even roughly used skin soon looks smoother and more feminine and feels more delightfully soft.
Yet Jergens is so easy to use.
That's true, too. There's no bothersome oiliness, no sticky feeling when you use Jergens lotion. So you see, it's no wonder the choosiest women prefer Jergens lotion hand care. Now back to the editorial room of the Jergens Journal and Frank Kingdon.
The man waiting in the White House today has had 130 million Americans looking over his shoulder for news from Tokyo. 4 months ago today, he succeeded Franklin D. Roosevelt. He alone knows how truly Roosevelt was the architect of victory. Japan's defeat is the climax of the strategy Roosevelt inspired and approved. Like Moses, he led us to the frontier of the promised land, but was not allowed to enter. But Moses was this much luckier. He did not leave behind him a peddler to vilify his memory. But the people know what Truman knows. Roosevelt preserved liberty for mankind. The atomic bomb is a heritage from him. He initiated it and took personal responsibility for spending $2 billion on it. He said to one of the few men who shared his secret that the next war, if not prevented, would start with 50 cities obliterated without warning. He added, and these are Roosevelt's words, quote, "Unless the world's conscience has a greater diameter than its machines, the world has an inescapable certainty of destruction," unquote. The atomic bomb in a fast plane annihilates isolationism. But we are still awaiting word that the two Berties, Wheeler and McCormick, realize it. On the Russian front, Russia entered the Pacific War 90 days after VE Day. This was the agreement between Roosevelt and Stalin at Tehran and Yalta, and Stalin kept his word. So much for the lies of the Russia haters and belittlers. Listeners to this program anticipated Russia's move because Winchell predicted it 10 months ago. At Tehran, the United States and Russia also agreed to exchange military information. Inventions of military importance were reportedly included in this agreement. Russia long ago turned over to us its sensational Katusha gun, which we have been using in the Pacific for more than a year. The Overseas News Agency authoritatively reports that Moscow maintains that the agreement calls for us to share with Russia the secret of the atomic bomb. On the National Unity Front, exclusive, a secret meeting in San Francisco at the time of the security conference planned to organize an anti-Russian bloc of voters in the United States. The guiding spirit was Ignacy Maduszewski, a writer for the conservative Polish daily Nowy Świat and a bitter Polish anti-Russian. He met representatives from Latvia, Lithuania, and Yugoslavia. They laid plans to combine foreign language groups here, including Germans, Hungarians, and Italians, to influence elections. They are said to have been encouraged by Senator Vandenberg's position on the Polish question, believing that he is influenced by the large Polish vote in Michigan and by Frank Januszewski, publisher of Detroit's Polish Daily and a diehard Pole. Other anti-Soviet and foreign group leaders busy at San Francisco were Bohdan Katami and former Yugoslav ambassador Fotich. Katami is editor of the Philadelphia America, who came here from Berlin in 1940 and is known as a follower of Skoropadsky, Ukrainian leader in Berlin, closely associated with the Nazis. Fotich was reinforced by L.C. Christopher of Gary, Indiana, president of the Serb National Federation with headquarters in Pittsburgh. All true Americans will repudiate an effort to split our people along European lines. Loyal Americans of foreign birth will be on guard. There can be no hyphen in the heart of an American. On the European front, why should we feed Europe? The Norwegian underground wrecked the heavy water plant in which the Germans were perfecting the atomic bomb. They saved us and civilization. This one deed is worth all the food and all the supplies that we can ship Europe for years and years to come. On German propaganda, it is still active. Hugo Stinnes has written German professors in American universities urging them to insist that American bankers awaken holders of German bonds to watch German reconversion. On the educational front, President Ernest Hopkins of Dartmouth says his college has a quota on Jews to save the Jews themselves, and that Dartmouth is a Christian college to Christianize its students. Dartmouth is tax-exempt. Politically, tax authorities should ask whether an exclusive club practicing discrimination should be supported by public funds. Educationally, Dr. Hopkins should reread the story of the atomic bomb in which all groups had a hand. Religiously, I suppose Dartmouth Christianizes its students by amending the great commandment to read, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," but strictly on a quota basis. That's all for now. Here's Ben Graff.
Thank you, Frank Kingdom.
I guess there's another reason why so many smart women prefer Jergens lotion. It gives your hands wonderful care, but that isn't all. Jergens helps your arms and elbows look smooth, too, and your legs.
You're right. And lots of men use Jergens lotion after shaving. There's none of that oiliness, no sticky feeling.
And I know Jergens gives the hands softness protection. I'm going to have an extra bottle of Jergens lotion for my kitchen.
Right. Only for really delightful smooth hands, be sure and always use this famous Jergens lotion. 10 cents to $1 plus tax. Next week, another edition of the Summer Jergens Journal with Ray Henley and Frank Kingdon. Now be sure to remain tuned for the Woodbury double feature program with Luella Parsons and Hollywood Mystery Time, which follows immediately. This is Ben Grauer speaking.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.